I haven't met you before. Also, today, if I have met you before. I work on AFES Hobart staff here, and Christine couldn't be with us tonight. Normally, she does these Women in History spots, so it's my honour and privilege to highlight some bright threads in the rich tapestry of Australian history that are women. When we look at the story of modern Australia, we often hear about key politicians, workforce labour battles, and bush legends. But beneath the steps of our national history comes a quiet engine of revolutionary change, one propelled by faith, conviction, and extraordinary female leadership. In the 19th and early 20th centuries, inequality was rife in Australia. Healthcare was a luxury, women had no political voice, and First Nations people were treated as subhuman. So Christian women were stepping into the gaps. Driven by the radical biblical mandates of human dignity, justice, and mercy, these Christian women built institutions, changed laws, challenged systemic oppression, and made history. Here we look briefly at three key areas where Christian women transformed Australia: through healthcare, through the vote, and through the fight for Indigenous rights. Healthcare. In 1838, five Irish Sisters of Charity arrived in Australia, the first recorded religious women to set foot on the continent. In the mid-1800s, Australian healthcare was expensive and sectarian. If you were poor or belonged to the wrong religious denomination, then receiving proper medical treatment was all but impossible. In 1857, Sisters of Charity oversaw the establishment of St Vincent's Hospital in Sydney, and in 1893, another in Melbourne. They operated on a radical mandate. Medical care would be provided completely free of charge to anyone who needed it, regardless of their religious creed, race, or socioeconomic standing. Along with other Christian women like Elizabeth Macquarie, who set up the Royal Women's Hospital in Sydney, and Hobart-born Dr. Constance Stone, the first female doctor to be registered in Australia and establisher of the Queen Victoria Hospital in Melbourne, these women all established Australia's enduring blueprint for universal, compassionate public health care, proving that Christian mercy recognises no social or economic boundaries. While Christian women pioneered universal health care, Australia was also plagued by epidemic levels of alcohol abuse, domestic violence, and financial ruin for families. Women had no legal protection, no custody rights over their own children, and zero political voice. Enter the Women's Christian Temperance Union, or the WCTU. WCTU soon became the largest and most politically organised women's movement in Australian history. In Victoria, they had Christian women like Mary Ann Thomas, who once drew so large a crowd to her public talks that the building they were in partially collapsed. And in Sydney, Mary Courtney Smith ran a home for former alcoholics who wanted to detox, that the famous Henry Lawson stayed at and wrote warmly of. In South Australia, devout Christian reformer Elizabeth Webb Nichols was president of the WCTU. There they realised something profound. If they wanted to protect families and reform society, moral pleading wasn't enough. They needed the ballot box. The WCTU mobilised thousands of women across metropolitan centres and remote outback settlements. Driven by a Christian theology of human dignity and social responsibility, they gathered over 11,600 signatures for the historic 1894 South Australian suffrage petition. The result? South Australia didn't just grant women the right to vote in 1894. It became the very first place in the entire world to grant women the right to stand for Parliament. The Christian temperance movement handed Australian women the keys to democracy, making Australia a better place for men, women, and children. Perhaps the most urgent frontier for social change in Australia was the relationship between European immigrants and First Nations people. In an era dominated by institutionalised racism and paternalistic control of the individual's freedom, Christian Mary Montgomery Bennett was a fierce, uncompromising champion for Indigenous dignity. The daughter of a pastoralist, Mary Bennett was driven by a deep Christian conviction that all people share equal value as image bearers of God. In the 1930s, she moved to Mount Margaret Mission in the remote goldfields of Western Australia. While official government policies aimed at assimilation and forcibly removing Aboriginal children from their families, Bennett dedicated her life to empowering Indigenous women and girls through education, literacy, and vocational independence. And she didn't just teach, she campaigned relentlessly. Bennett submitted scathing eyewitness reports as evidence to state royal commissions. She exposed the realities of forced child removal and even petitioned the International League of Nations, that's the precursor to the United Nations that we have today, against human rights abuses in Australia. She fought for land rights, equal wages, and full citizenship for First Nations people, declaring that true harmony between Indigenous Australians and immigrants could only be built on justice and equal rights. She modelled a Christian faith that listens, defends, and stands alongside the marginalised. Many others fought as well. I'm about to mention the name of just one more, a Christian Australian Indigenous woman who is deceased, if that's something that you need to be warned of. Auntie Marge Liladia Tucker, a Wadi Wadi woman, was one of the stolen generation, and she fought for the equal rights and fair treatment of her people in the mid-1900s. She spoke to the Australian government on the first Commonwealth Ministry for Aboriginal Affairs, and she's been remembered for how she endured and fought endlessly for her people without bitterness, despite her suffering because of her faith. So from pioneering non-sectarian healthcare, securing world-first voting rights for women, and demanding justice for First Nations people, Christian women have been central to shaping the ethical core of modern Australia. They did not wait for culture to change on its own and transform society because their faith compelled them to love their neighbours in practical, courageous, and structured ways. As we reflect on our nation today, facing our own contemporary challenges of social equity, healthcare, and reconciliation, their lives leave us with a vital question. How will we use our voice, our convictions, to advocate for human dignity in our generations?